name is John G. Erskine, Westbury 48. What follows, to the best of my recollection, is a true account of a decision in democracy. Now, I don't tell it out of any spirit of righteousness or triumph. All of us wished it had never happened. But it did happen, and now, 8 years later, we're in a position to tote up the score. And Cap Williams poked his head into my room.
Hey, got a couple of minutes?
Well, sure thing, Cap.
Well, come on down to the living room.
Okay.
You seen Pete?
He just took a suit to the cleaners. He'll be back.
Well, I want everybody in on it. Let's say 10 minutes, huh?
10 minutes. I'll be there. Westbury College was founded about 150 years ago by a little group of granite-willed New Englanders who wanted to put education on a non-denominational, non-sectarian basis. It was never meant to be a large school, never has become one. There are about 1,100 students, men and women, most of them planning to be high school teachers or district superintendents. Next to studies, skiing and winter sports are the big item, with the Westbury Winter Carnival a high spot of the year. Quiet, unpretentious. Westbury College. Hey, Pete, is that you?
Yeah, me and my aching bones.
Well, Cap's called a house meeting. 5 minutes, living room.
Yeah, he told me. I'll be there.
There were about 25 of us, all back from service. We'd reactivated the Westbury chapter of Sigma Chi Rho fraternity, better known on the campus as the Chiros, which had closed down during the war. We didn't own our own house, but at least the Thompson Hall, an old brick colonial affair. We were picking up where we left off, and after what we'd been through, the last thing we wanted was trouble. But like the man said, trouble is a gate crasher. How do you keep it out?
All right, let's have some quiet.
Hey, who's got tobacco?
Don't you ever buy your own.
Well, it tastes better when it's for nothing.
Catch.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Charlie, you got the pledge list. Let's give it a rundown.
All right, let's take them all in. We need the money.
Shut up, Pete. Okay, Charlie, come on.
Okay, Ted Kingsley.
He's a nice kid.
Mm-hmm. Nicer sister.
Now, how about it? I think we ought to have him into the smoker.
Any objections? Okay, next.
Dan Marshall.
Which one's he?
Cap Williams was chapter president. Tall, beginning to bald, former Air Force captain in the European theater. Next to him, puffing lazily on his pipe, sat Pete Fields. Good-looking, medium build, Navy flyer with a war record you'd never get him to talk about. Charlie Robinson headed up the pledge committee. Serious, looking every inch the student he was. Now, this was our annual chore, sifting the freshman class for likely Chiros. It was tedious, but important. Charlie had just about reached the end of his list when the chapter volcano, Paul Vincent, erupted through the door.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hold it, Paul. We got serious business.
Yeah, I know, but this fits. I was talking to Milt. He'll take our pledge.
Hey, I'm for that. Pete?
In my book, the nicest guy on campus.
John? Sure. All right, let's have him in.
Yeah, one thing, though.
Yeah?
He brought it up himself. He said he didn't want to embarrass anybody. He's Jewish.
So what?
That's what I told him. So what?
Yeah, what about it, Cap? Is there anything in the Constitution that says we can't pledge him because he's Jewish? Well, I don't know. I never looked it up.
Well, pledge him and just don't say anything when you send his name to National. They'll never know the difference.
Well, maybe so, but it's not the right way to handle it.
What is?
Well, I think we ought to get a ruling.
Yeah, I'd say that's the best way.
I say it's the worst. Our membership is our business. We like a fella, he can have two heads. We want him, he comes in. National has nothing to do with it.
Well, you're right, Pete, but you gotta follow channels.
Holy, channels?
Well, I've been looking through the Constitution, Cap. Nothing in there I can find that'll hold Milt out.
Then he's in.
Sure, but just so the record's clear, I'll write the letter.
And so began La Fer, Cairo. Cap Williams wrote the letter. Milt was pledged, and if anyone thought twice about the matter, he never mentioned it to me. He went on rushing our quota of frosh, inviting him to smokers, going through the process that Pete, irreverent as always, called fattening the pigs for slaughter. Cap had an answer to his letter in about a week.
It came from the National Secretary.
I got it. I read it, but I can't make out if he says yes or no or out to lunch.
What do you mean?
Well, listen. Answering your query about the National Constitution, there is no clause excluding members of the Jewish religion from membership in our fraternity. We leave this to the discretion of our local chapters.
Well, that means okay.
Right. No, I'm not so sure, Pete.
Well, that's what it says, Charlie.
Yeah, but what does he mean by discretion?
Oh, it's like taking out blondes. Them's that want to do.
My feeling is that just so long as there's nothing definitely against it in the Constitution, we take Milton. Agree, Paul?
Well, I'd like to see them try to stop us. So it's settled.
Okay.
So I'm going to take a nap.
Oh, one thing else. This is our first class of new pledges since we reopened the chapter. Let's do it in style.
Style?
No, we'll go through the ritual.
Oh, you mean the bedsheet routine? You're kidding, Cap. We've never gone in for that mumbo-jumbo in this chapter.
I know, but this is special.
Yeah, I think Cap's right. The new guys will be kind of expecting something.
Oh, secret signs, secret words. What hogwash.
I agree with Pete. And who knows how to work this ritual?
I'm getting all this stuff from National. Charlie, will you take over the operation?
Okay.
I got only one thing else to say.
Say it.
It stinks.
The package with the ritual details, words, music, costumes, arrived a few days later. We were all busy with exams and never got around to rehearsing the ritual until Charlie Robinson called a special meeting.
All right, now, you've all got your costumes. Oh, Cap, you're chapter president. You'll have to administer the oath.
What oath?
Oh, I guess it's in the ritual book. I put it over there on the table.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete, the pledges will be blindfolded. So you'll lead them in, circle them around, and line them up before Cap station.
Shut
up, will you? Paul, you stand here.
Yeah, okay.
And John, you stand on the other side. Okay, they're all lined up. Now you stand up, Cap, and administer the oath.
Wait a minute, I'm trying to find it. Huh? Oh, yeah, here it is.
Okay, read it.
Our requirements rigidly exclude members of the Negroid and Hebrew races. In this, do you qualify for membership?
Heil Hitler.
Are they kidding?
No one's kidding. I read what's printed.
Well, the Constitution doesn't say anything like that.
Sure not, Charlie. That's what they keep for the inner circle. They pull the blinds and douse the lights so they don't have to look each other in the face when they read it.
What a slimy, underhanded way to sneak it in.
I just had a funny thought.
Hmm? Make me laugh.
Imagine in France my getting up before the enemy and saying to the company, boys, this little mission we've got on our hands rigidly excludes members of the Negroid and Hebrew races. In this, do you qualify?
Oh, I'm hysterical.
Yeah, we better give up the idea of the ritual, Cap.
You better give up the idea of the fraternity. Fraternity, you know what this is, all wrapped up in pretty ribbons? It's all the rotten bigotry of Hitler, and it goes by the same name, Nazism, and that's not for me. I'm turning in my pin, Cap.
Well, maybe you'll have company. I'm calling a chapter meeting, the whole house, tonight.
That night, we gathered in the living room. The whole chapter. And you could feel the sparks flying. Everyone knew what had happened. We were all mad. And I guess a little ashamed, too.
It's our own fault, I suppose. None of us took the trouble to find this out before. Maybe we didn't look because we were afraid to look. It was easier playing blind man's bluff. But now we know, what do we do?
I told you what I'm going to do, Cap.
What possible good can resigning do?
It can wash down my conscience, that's something.
That's not enough. Listen, Sigma Chi Rho's our fraternity. We're supposed to run it. We've got a voice in its government. Let's use it. We can't be the only chapter that feels this strongly about discrimination.
Can I say something, Cap?
Sure, go ahead, Charlie.
I don't know. I'm a little surprised at you guys. All of a sudden, you're waking up to something you've been living with for years. But this whole matter of fraternities barring their doors, it's nothing new. Check into it, you'll find the vast majority of fraternities discriminate on one basis or another. And here's the queer thing. It's not only white Christian fraternities barring Jews and Negroes. You'll find Jewish fraternities barring Christians and Negro fraternities barring whites. I guess there must be some fraternities around that bar anybody who hasn't got a mole on his right cheek. You all know that. It's nothing new.
Yeah, we know it. We don't have to like it. We don't have to be part of it.
Agreed, but turning your back and walking out will solve nothing. And if you don't like it, Pete, why don't you fight to change it?
What are you doing, Charlie? Needling?
No.
You want to fight this thing, I'll fight it with you. I was turning in my pin only because I wasn't sure everybody feels as I do.
But they do, Pete. Let's have a vote on it. All those in favor of putting the Westbury chapter of Sigma Chi Rho on record as being unalterably opposed to any discriminatory clauses in our Constitution or rituals, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those in favor of the Westbury chapter of Sigma Chi Rho calling upon all other chapters of our fraternity to work with us in eliminating all existing discriminatory clauses in our Constitution or rituals, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So ordered.
Now I'm hungry. Let's go out and get some chow.
Now, we knew we had a long hold. None of us expected this thing to come off easy. And we figured some advice on strategy might come in handy. There was a professor on the campus. We brought our troubles to him.
Boy, you've hooked a live one.
We know that, Professor.
It's a funny thing. No, I guess it's a tragic thing. American colleges, where one would expect to find the, well, the very, call it the heartbeat of liberalism and democracy, young, fresh, good ideas, climate of tolerance, eagerness to understand, to share, good, clean thinking. Instead, what do you find? Training camps for snobs, breeding places for anti-democratic ideas, racial and religious hates.
How do you account for it, Doc?
I suppose you can put the blame on inertia. You remember that there was a tremendous surge of immigration into this country in the last 20 years of the 19th century. Waves of people, most of them poor as church mice, foreign languages, odd ethnic habits. By the turn of the century, their children, first-generation Americans, began to appear in our college campuses. Fraternities in existence then tried to insulate themselves against these new groups by writing racial restrictions into their constitutions. That's how it started.
50 years ago. Time for a change.
Not so easy, Pete. Except for the discrimination, fraternities have been a valuable part of American college education. They help educate the whole man, not only the part that attends classrooms. But fraternities aren't run by students, Pete. Not most of them, anyway.
Says so in the book.
The book skips a couple of pages. Most national fraternities are governed by alumni. That's the simple truth. The same alumni, in many cases, who are responsible for the bias clauses to begin with. They're still around. We haven't outgrown them. They hold tight to the fraternal life they remember, the status quo. And woe to the man who tries to change it.
Are you telling us politely that we haven't got a chance?
Oh, no. I'm just telling you that you've got a jaguar by the tail.
It's worth a fight, isn't it, Doc?
Worth a fight? Look. Without getting maudlin or sentimental, there's no denying that the future leadership of the country is walking the college campus today. They are being prepared for this responsibility by constant exposure, by actual participation in a system that endorses racial and religious discrimination. Now, they're not going to forget that the day after they leave college. They'll carry it with them into the business world, into their professions, into their private lives as graduates. Worth a fight, huh? What do you think?
What followed, followed fast. And it's hard now to remember every detail of our attack. One of our first actions was to contact other chapters of the fraternity by mail, tell them of our position, ask for their support. Letters went out to our chapter alumni, and by the beginning of 1947, we thought we had a clear picture of where we stood.
I've got a mail count, Cap.
Oh, let's have it, Charlie.
So far as our own chapter alumni are concerned, 90% of them support our position.
Hey, that's good. That's better than I thought.
Well, what about the other chapters?
Well, that's touch and go. I think we got a majority on our side, but the returns aren't all in.
Well, we can't wait. We'll have to go into the national convention with the support we've got now.
We're going to get in with some hard-boiled customers, Cap. Better get your flight plan set before you take off.
All right, here's what we're going to do, Pete. We'll offer an amendment to the Constitution. Wait a minute. I've got it written down.
Oh, I've got that. Here it is, Cap.
Oh, yeah, the amendment reads that each chapter be given the right to prescribe the qualifications for membership. and that nothing in the Constitution, bylaws, or rituals would prevent the initiation of any man on the grounds of his race or religion, unquote.
I'd like to see it stronger. By that amendment, a chapter could decide to bar on religious or racial grounds. It's a form of local option.
That's right, Pete. We can't go whole hog. It's just not practical.
But you're getting rid of every part of the skunk but the smell.
And we can get rid of that, too, in time. Right now, we have to meet the objections of some chapters halfway. It is a compromise, but it's a big first step.
Well, if you're satisfied, I'll go along.
I think we can put this across, Pete. We're not dictating reform nationally, but we are eliminating the bias clause and giving every local chapter freedom of action.
Okay, let's try it. But you know something?
What?
You don't clean a stable by whitewashing one wall.
Cap Williams and one of our alumni members, Joe Raymond, went to the national convention held in Pittsburgh. We kept in close touch by phone, and the first reports we had were optimistic. Cap was doing a great job of lobbying and bringing other chapters over to our position. The amendment was due for a vote late on Tuesday night, and the whole chapter gathered in the living room of our house, waiting on final word from Cap and Joe.
Who's got tobacco?
Oh, when are you going to buy some of your own?
Don't be maudlin.
Here, catch.
Thanks.
I'll get it. Hello? Hello, Cap. And this is Charlie. The whole gang's here. What's happened? Well, take it slow. I want to repeat what you're saying. The vote on our amendment has just been taken, yeah. When the chapter votes were counted, it was close, but the majority favored our amendment. Hey, wait a minute, Cap. I can't hear you. Shut up, will you? Yeah, go ahead, Cap. When the votes of the Grand Council were added in, the amendment was killed. Yeah. Okay, Cap, we'll be looking for you.
Well, we don't even get to whitewash a wall.
I don't get it, Charlie. If the chapters voted in favor of the amendment...
The Grand Council alumni members who are national officers have equal votes with the chapters. And they voted us down.
The day after Cap returned from Pittsburgh, we called another chapter meeting. This time it was Pete who offered the motion.
I went along when some of the boys talked compromise. I didn't believe in it, but I went along. But you can't compromise with principle. It never works out. Now, here's my motion. I move that we cut ourselves clean from the national fraternity. That we set ourselves up as a local, non-secret fraternity, having no restrictions on membership based on race, creed, or color.
Now, wait a minute, Pete. That's...
Get that, will you, John?
Okay.
All right, now you've all heard Pete's motion. I'll throw it open for discussion.
Hey, it's a telegram for you, Cap.
Huh? Telegram?
Yeah, Cap.
From the Grand Council.
Oh? What now, Brown Cow?
Well, they're sending up a special representative to talk to us.
I put a motion on the floor, Cap.
Yeah, I know you did, Pete. But, don't you think we ought to wait and hear this fella out?
What for? We've heard it all before.
Well, you can't tell, Pete. Maybe you'll have some new ideas on how we can work this out.
More compromise. I'm for
now, taking... Now, wait, Pete. You know our feeling. We're not going to change our minds. On the other hand, I wouldn't want to feel that we've acted without giving the other side every chance to be heard. I think we ought to table your motion for the time being.
The only thing I like about that idea is the word table. Let's go out and eat.
The representative from the Grand Council arrived the next day. We gave him a hearty welcome, sat down with him, and gave him our point of view. He listened carefully and then gave us his.
I'm trying to be nothing but realistic. You can't exist without the national. Cut yourself off and you're in limbo, isolated and broke. You'll wither on the vine. You break from national in 2 years from now, and remember I told you this, this chapter will be dead, buried, forgotten.
Mr. Webster, you know what this little frame document is? Hangs in every fraternity house in the country. It's the Decalogue. It's a statement of aims set down years ago to act as a moral beacon for all members of fraternities in this country. Look at item 10. College fraternity seeks to develop those qualities of human understanding, of companionship, of kindness, with the knowledge and training in appraising the basic values of life, which will lead toward a better civilization with peace and understanding among all people.
When I ask a pledge, our requirements rigidly exclude members of the Negroid and Hebrew races. In this, do you qualify? Am I appraising the basic values of life, which lead toward a better civilization with peace and understanding among all people?
No, I don't want to discuss that.
But we do. We want to talk about bias and bigotry and how they help achieve peace and understanding among all people.
You can't change the world overnight.
You can change it in a minute. Less than that. During the war, every time a Zero went down or a Nazi tank blew up, we were changing the world, making it a little easier to breathe in.
Now, we're getting far away from the subject.
Oh, no, couldn't get closer. Same fight, same enemy. Bigotry, fascist ideas, Aryanism. Call it by any name, it's still no rose.
Well, I'll leave you boys to discuss this among yourselves.
No need for that, sir. We've got no secrets. The whole chapter's here to a man.
All right.
Last night, before we received your wire, we were on the point of voting on a motion. We tabled it then. I'll take it off the table now. Pete, you want to restate it?
Same now as last night. I move that we disassociate ourselves from the national organization of this fraternity. That we organize ourselves as a local, non-secret fraternity, having no restrictions on membership based on race, creed, or color.
Before you vote, let me remind you that if you disaffiliate with National, you'll have to turn over all your funds, all your property, everything. Now, remember that.
I call for a vote.
You're committing suicide. But as no.
Those in favor of Pete's motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed.
Carried unanimously. So ordered.
We were 50 men, cut off from National. All we had were the funds we had saved since 1947. Other than that, we were awfully alone. We changed our name from Sigma Chi Rho to Sigma Chi Omega. And we were unique among New England fraternities, non-secret, anti-discriminatory, and local. The big question, not only our question, but the question of thousands of others who were watching us, some praying to see success, some praying harder to see us die, was simply this. Would it work? Could it be? Our decision was made in 1947. This is 1955. 8 years since we were warned.
You can't exist without National. Cut yourself off, you're in limbo, isolated and broke. You'll wither on the vine. 2 years from now, and remember, I told you this, this chapter will be dead, buried and forgotten. The only one who will remember Sigma Chi Rho at Westbury will be the junk dealer who buys the furniture.
Here is the record. Today. This very day. Item. This last year, Sigma Chi Omega, our new fraternity at Westbury, pledged the largest class on campus. New members included Catholics, Jews, and Protestants, Negroes and whites. Item. Prior to 1947, Sigma Chi Rho at Westbury never owned its own house. In 1954, our new fraternity purchased the Wilson Estate, which will give it one of the finest houses on the campus. Item. Since 1946, Sigma Chi Omega has been among the top three fraternities in scholastic standing. Last year, Sigma Chi Omega took permanent possession of the scholastic trophy after winning it 3 years in a row. Item.
Co-chairman of the Westbury Carnival Committee.
Chairman of the Student Education Policy Committee.
President of the Christian Association.
President of the Debating Club.
Program director of the college radio station.
Musical director of the Varsity Show.
All members of Sigma Chi Omega. Item. Since 1947, every pledge in Sigma Chi Omega has stood unblindfolded, arm raised, and taken this open oath.
I do solemnly swear that I will at all times endeavor to uphold and promote the ideals of this fraternity, never to judge a prospective member on the basis of race, color, or religion, to enrich the bonds of friendship found herein, and to conduct myself in a manner worthy of this fraternity and college.
None of us wanted this fight, but none of us shunned it. We believed in fraternity. That's what we fought for. What we did, others can do. It's not hard. We didn't look for any plaudits or any laurels when we cast our vote to strike out alone, leaving behind the swamp of narrowness and bigotry. We made a decision in democracy. We were right. The case of the Sigma Chi Omega is happily not the end of the story. On many of America's outstanding college campuses, the fight for the end of bias in fraternity membership has caught fire. Amherst, Williams, University of Wisconsin, Dartmouth, Columbia are only a few that have followed our lead. The National Committee on Fraternity Education has been formed to study the entire problem and to acquaint the public with the status of this battle for the American ideals on American college campuses. Sure, the end's not yet in sight, but as the saying goes, we have just begun to fight.